Welcome to Savor Podcasts. I'm Kelly Hines, registered dietitian.
And I'm Danielle Beck Ellsworth, licensed marriage and family therapist. Do you hear that sound? Today is our cooking episode. Woo! We are so excited to be able to cook with you while sharing some amazing information about budget cooking and how to have access to nutritious meals and be able to save money, save some ingredients, and probably save your mind a little bit too.
And enjoy yourself.
Yes, most important.
Yeah. Well, so today I'm going to be walking Danielle through a few recipes, and I want to give our Savor shout out to the woman who actually prepared these recipes in a cookbook, and her name is Leanne Brown, and you can find her at www.leannebrown.com. Leanne is spelled L-E-A-N-N-E. And she prepared this cookbook called Good and Cheap, and it's available for free on her website in PDF version. And actually, she started a Kickstart campaign after this cookbook first came out, and she raised $144,000 to have this cookbook printed and given to people who were in need, who didn't have access to the computer. So it's pretty amazing that her cookbook and program got off the way that it did. But when I first heard about this, it was from a client of mine. So if you're listening, thank you very much, because I've shared this information with a lot of people since you shared it with me. So she wrote this cookbook for, intended for people who are on food stamps and the government SNAP program, because she wanted them to find an affordable way to eat well. And I mean, you've probably read in articles or watched movies that talks about how people who are lower socioeconomic status, they actually have worse nutrition and their health is poor. And they usually have access to foods that aren't as nutrient dense. Things that are available and cheap seem to be less quality. So she wanted to show that actually anybody could cook well on a budget. And I had no idea, Danielle. Do you have any idea how many dollars a day people on food stamps receive?
No, I would guess it's pretty low though. Maybe $6 to $7?
$4.
Oh, wow.
$4.
Wow. You can't really get enough food for that for even one person.
It just blew my mind. I had no idea. And so she wrote this entire cookbook showing people that you actually could cook and cook well and meet your nutrition needs on that $4 a day.
Wow.
And she actually, I believe that she's in New York City or somewhere around there. And she even went to the markets in the different, are they called barrios? No, they're not called barrios.
Boroughs
mm-hmm. of New York to the tiny little corner markets, which you know are going to be pretty pricey in New York City, and even purchased her groceries there and was still able to do this on $4 a day. And so I like one of the things that she said in her cookbook. She said, kitchen skill, not budget, is the key to great food. And so we want to show today that it doesn't take a ton of skill to put together some things that are pretty tasty and pretty well balanced. Mm-hmm. How would you say your cooking skill is, Danielle?
It's just even funny to like conceptualize it as a cooking skill. Well, so to be honest, I just got into cooking last year, May 2015. I actually was inspired by a friend. I was out in Kentucky and I spent 4 or 5 days with her. She just had a new baby, and just being around her cooking and helping her cook, I realized how easy it was. Mm-hmm. And then she pointed out just a couple of kitchen items like a whisk and a grater that are handy to have around and come up in a lot of recipes, and just, you know, kind of just even watching her use different ingredients than than were required by the recipe was really neat, because I think my mentality was you have to have, you know, all the kitchen accessories and you have to follow the recipe exactly. And it's like, no, like you can kind of, you know, do your own thing. And if you don't have a food processor, use the blender and, you know, so, and then if you don't have, you know, cauliflower, use broccoli, or, you know, if you don't have the cornmeal, use breadcrumbs, which we're going to be doing today. So it was, and it just tasted so good too. Like that was the other piece. So I think my other holdup was my husband primarily eats vegetarian, and I just thought I didn't know how to cook that way and get enough protein in. But my friend, her and her husband were both vegetarian, and so I saw like, oh, you know, you just use a lot of beans, and and I mean, it's more than just beans. There's other ways to get protein in with your cheeses, and you definitely can be full on a meal that doesn't have any animal meat. So I just learned a lot that trip. I came home, I started cooking more often, and I realized like over time, I guess the skill does develop where you just get comfortable. And like sometimes I can just look in the fridge now and be like, oh, I'm going to put this together, and I don't have to look at a recipe. So it's probably been cheaper, although I haven't done the math yet. But it's also just been fun, and it's, I find it really calming too, which I was really surprised about. I thought I would like put on music or a movie and always kind of have something going, but often I cook in silence. And I, and like an hour will go by and I'm like, oh, wow, wow, that's pretty neat.
So I know, I love it. I love.
Yeah.
Vegetables is one of the most calming things to me. And people think that's so weird, but I do. I just love to be in the kitchen and doing that. So I always tell people that one of my favorite things to do that's so calming for me is to chop vegetables. Oh. I just love to be in the kitchen with a good knife. And just chop, chop, chop. It's just such a good feeling. But yeah, I mean, my mom, I grew up with my mom cooking everything from scratch. We never really had anything that was processed to say, yeah, rarely did we ever. And so I guess I just kind of learned that from her. And then Doug is really good about looking in the refrigerator like that. I'm more of a recipe person and a planner and a menu, but he's really good about just looking in the fridge and thinking, oh, we can do this. We can throw this together. So it's good. It's good. So we'll talk about that a little bit, about ways to save money with that. But let's get started cooking.
Yes.
And you're going to hear probably some noises in the background with Danielle in her kitchen. But the first one we wanted to do is cornmeal crusted veggies. And so she gives a list of suggestions, for instance, green beans, zucchini, bell peppers, squash, cauliflower, broccoli, carrots, okra. And Danielle chose broccoli and cauliflower. And we're going to start this one first because this is probably the most prep time, even though you're going to see it's barely any prep time. And also it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to bake, so it'll take the longest to cook of anything. So when you're planning a menu or a meal, that's kind of what you need to think about. You need to think about what you can prepare in advance and then what order you should be cooking them in, hoping to time them about the same time that things will be coming through, okay? All right. Danielle, so far you've already washed and cut up your veggies, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then... Go ahead.
I've also made my breading station, which is what she calls it. So I have three sections. I have a plate of flour, and then I have a bowl with two eggs and a fourth a cup of milk that have been whisked together. And then my third plate is the, well, I'm actually using breadcrumbs, but the recipe called for cornmeal, so whichever you're using. And that is mixed in with salt and pepper, some paprika, and some garlic powder. So I'm going to be taking the raw vegetable and going flour, eggs and milk, and the breadcrumb mixture, and then placing it on a baking sheet that has some oil already on it.
So super simple, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I already started to preheat the oven at 450. So.
And we should say that too, that when you are baking, it's really important to get your oven preheated, because otherwise you're just not going to have consistent results when you bake something. So That's important to do.
Okay. I usually get impatient and I just like put it in there.
Yeah, I do too, but it never turns out quite right if you do that. Okay, so you're going to get to work on that. How much broccoli and cauliflower did you end up using, you think?
So I have one head of cauliflower and then two, are they stalks? Two stalks mm-hmm. of broccoli.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have a pretty good amount then.
Yeah, I was hoping for leftovers.
Okay, good. Perfect. And I would also like to suggest, as far as in the kitchen, one thing that really will save you a lot of time is if you have a good knife. So if you could just invest in a good knife, I think you're going to find that cooking is a lot more enjoyable. And I usually suggest like a chef's knife for the first good knife purchase. It's a bigger knife and you can pretty much do anything with it. But you're going to find you're going to spend a lot less time chopping and things if you have a good one. All right. So part of the purpose of today, is learning a little bit about cooking, but then the other part is about, planning for grocery shopping and how you can save money. And, so I started to look online about different apps that you can use for grocery shopping. Have you ever used an app for your menu or grocery shopping, Danielle?
Yeah. My husband and I use the AnyList, I believe mm-hmm. it's called, mm-hmm. app. And that's really, it's helpful now because I, I would, just text him and, you know, uh-huh. can you get this or what do you need? I'm there. And he kept pushing me to use the app. And so often he'd be like, just put it in the app. And I'm like, no, just text me. But it is really nice because if you're not actually at the grocery store that moment and it's just you notice something's out, you can just put it there. And then who's ever at the grocery store first can pull that up and see like, oh, we're out of eggs, we're out of milk. And we even, you can organize it. So we have one for Costco, one for the grocery store, and then just one for like kind of like Target or other mm-hmm. you know
yeah
kind of store. So yeah, so it works out pretty good if I remember to put on the list.
And actually, Danielle, when I was reviewing some apps, that one was referred to as the big daddy of all apps.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you guys are using the good one.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty cool that you can share it with someone. So if there's more than one person in your house, you can both be adding things to it. So
yeah, it seems like it'd be really good for kids too. So if you have like teenagers and you know they need something for their sports team or they're bringing something to school or they just want something, like they can just add it on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm just going to mention a couple. There was one called Grocery IQ, and that one you could also share with people. I think I liked that you can add your different stores that you like to shop at, and then their sale items will pop up for you so you can see where you can get the better buys on things. Mm. And then Saving Star looked good. You can put your loyalty cards in those. And then you'll automatically be finding out what the sales are. But then really cool is that you earn cash back. Oh. And so I didn't go into it to try to figure out how to do that, but I think I will because that sounds pretty great that you can actually get cash back by using that app. Hmm. And then Cellfire looked like another great one. So if anybody's using any of these apps and wants to give us feedback on our website or on our Facebook or Twitter, we'd love to hear that. Mm-hmm. I use Out of Milk and it's just
cute.
A real simple, I know, it's a real simple one. And I probably don't use all of its functionality, but I just started using it and so I haven't switched over. But it's arranged by sections of the grocery store. You can do that yourself. But even if you just have a grocery list, you know, whether you use an app or not, saving money is going to be much easier if you do go in with, you know I'm going to prepare these items this week. These are the things I already have in my pantry. And so these are the things I need to supplement it with. Mm-hmm. To make sure that I have everything I need. And then if you do have your grocery list kind of organized by sections of the store, then you're going to spend a lot of, you know, save a lot of time in there too. So I think that's great.
Oh, that's a good idea to organize it by sections of the store.
Yeah.
I guess that's what some of these apps do.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I've just never read it that way.
So that's a money saver and a time saver. Mm-hmm. The other thing you might want to think of is grocery shopping by yourself. because when you're with other people, especially kids, there's going to be pressure to pick up this and pick up this, and then you'll probably end up buying more and spending more money than you probably needed to. So shopping alone can be good. I don't know though, I want to mention a little bit, our clients, our listeners who have eating disorders, grocery shopping can be very overwhelming. And I've taken a store trips in my career with clients. And so maybe these tips aren't that helpful for those people. And so maybe going to the grocery store with someone would actually be better, if you need that. You know, some pre-planning for that would be helpful, I think.
Is there any way to save the scraps from what you're cooking as another way to save some money? Because I know, like, sometimes I don't use everything, or there's just like a little bit left. Is there any way to actually use those for later?
Can you give me an example of something? Because I'm thinking like what you're cooking right now. No, that would not be something. Well, the veggies you could save, but you know, the flour, the eggs, that kind of stuff, you wouldn't want to save. But
Yeah, I mean, sometimes like a recipe only needs like, half the cauliflower or part of the onion. Or like, I guess what I end up a lot with is like green onions, that I don't, and then cilantro too. Like, it's like it goes bad really quickly, and so I can never seem to use it before it goes bad. And oh, the other one is cabbage. So I usually don't need like the whole head of cabbage, but
Specifically for cabbage, you know, I don't know if you're into fermenting, but if you do like to ferment, you could easily get that going and make some sauerkraut or some kimchi or something like that. So that would be something that you wouldn't have to eat right away. You know, you could also find recipes that do use it. So there was a cooking book by Cooking Light. It was called Super Fast Suppers. And one of the things I liked about it is that it would give you one ingredient, but then it would give you like four or five different recipes that you could use that ingredient in. And so maybe if you are planning your meals for the week and you know you're going to buy a whole head of cabbage, maybe you could think of a couple of things to use that in so that you might use more of it. Cilantro, things like herbs might be a little more difficult to save, but you could try pureeing those in a food processor or a blender, and then freezing that in ice cube trays, and then putting it in a Ziploc bag and using those later in cooking. You could try that. I don't know if you've ever noticed in Trader Joe's, but they have those little frozen packs of herbs. Have you
I
ever seen
have
those?
used those before here.
So that's basically all it is. So if you have a good way to puree it and then store it, that'd be fine. And then other veggies. And I mean, I guess you could even do this with the cauliflower and broccoli, but anything that you have left over, you can just go ahead and chop up and throw it in the freezer. And then if you're making a recipe later down the line that calls for something to be sauteed or baked in, you can definitely pull those out and use them. They're not going to have the same consistency as raw, so you wouldn't probably want to use it in a fresh raw recipe, but anything cooked, absolutely. And then the other great thing that a lot of cooks use that stuff for is to make a stock or a bouillon. And so that's actually can be a big money pit, I guess, if you want to call it that, is using the chicken stocks and the broths and the veggie broths and the beef broths because, you know, a lot of recipes call for that type of thing. And I mean, depending on what you buy, those bricks that are about 4 cups, those can cost, I don't know, I've paid $4 even for those before. So if you can make your own out of leftover veggies and water, then you're going to save a ton of money. So that's probably what I would suggest to do with the other types of vegetables that you're saving. And then
That's a
the
good
other
idea.
thing to think about for bouillons and broth for that is getting the jar of base and making your own broth instead of buying like the canned broth or the box broth, because that's going to save a lot of money too. And it's just as easy. I mean, you have some hot water and you mix a couple tablespoons of that in, and it's the exact same thing as buying a can or a box of it. So it's a good money saver.
Great.
How's it going there?
So this is messy.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I think, yeah, that's another part of cooking is you have to be okay with that. It's getting a little messy. I think I had more veggies than the breadcrumb recipe required. So I just went ahead and made another batch of the breadcrumb mix with the spices. And I'm getting my tray pretty full here. So it's going to be ready to go in probably in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. And the other thing you could do too, if you didn't feel like making up another mixture, is you could just toss those in a little oil and salt and pepper in the same spices and then just have some that are not breaded too. That would be totally fine. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you keep tahini around your house.
I do, actually.
Okay. And so that's really good to toss with vegetables and then roast in the oven.
Oh, I never knew that.
Really, really good.
So just the tahini by itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And you could add spices if you wanted or lemon juice or something, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So breading stuff is really messy. And, you know, also I keep latex gloves in my kitchen because I don't like to get my hands in a lot of stuff. And so that makes the experience more pleasant for me when I'm making something messy. So you might want to think about that too.
That is a very good idea.
Okay. So other things I want to talk about with saving some money is just planning and more planning. So, I find personally that if I'm really busy and I don't have time to sit down and make a menu and go to the grocery store, then I'm sort of just winging it through the week and I end up eating out a lot more. So it's just, you have to take a little bit of time to plan and maybe even pre-prep on the days that you have off or the weekend or something, but it's just going to make your life a lot easier and you're going to save a lot of money when you're cooking most of your stuff from home.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. The other thing that's in the food service world is called a par stock. Have you ever heard of that? So a par stock is basically you always have this amount of these basics in your kitchen. So let's say, for instance, you know, I always keep 2 cans of black beans and I always keep 5 cans of tuna and I always have 2 boxes of chicken broth. You know, I always have 1 bag of pasta. So you think about the things that are sort of basics in your pantry, and then you kind of assign a number. And so you make sure that every time you use one, you put 1 back on the list, and so that you always have a rotating supply of all of those things.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I think I end up doing that just because we go to Costco so much. So then I get the things that I tend to cook with more there. And then it's just usually really, it's usually really handy in mm-hmm. our cupboards.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find you save more money going to Costco, like a big box store like that?
Yeah, we do. You know, the thing that matters though is we have the space for it. So when we lived in an apartment, then we weren't going as often. I think we still went for like paper products, but we haven't really done food until we've been in our house because we have a garage now, so we can actually store everything. So that is one of the tricky parts with it is buying in bulk. You got to put it somewhere because it might take 6 months to a year to work your way through it.
Well, the other thing too, I encourage my clients to do, usually my single clients, but you can do this if you're married too and you just don't have the space, is to share that with a friend, you know, because if you know you can save money, then you could go to Costco together and you could have half of it and they could have half of it. And then storage wouldn't be as much of an issue. Or if you're finding that you're always throwing out something, you know, just go ahead and share that with somebody. Or the other thing is if you always find you're throwing out something, then as soon as you get it, wash it up and package it up and put it in the freezer. Because just knowing that it's probably going to sit there and go to waste, then you're, you know, being on top of things before it happens. Mm-hmm. Did you just put the veggies in the oven?
I did. So I put the timer on. And I'm ready to move on to the peanut sauce.
Okay. Exciting. So she has a peanut sauce recipe here, and this is something that I would just say have fun with, because I make a peanut sauce and I do different things with it. I make chicken lettuce wraps. I do noodles with it sometimes, as a dipping sauce sometimes. And I never put the same thing in it. I just sort of like, oh, I think this would taste good or this would taste good. But I think that you're going to kind of stick to the recipe, huh, Danielle?
The only thing I'm going to change is the soy sauce. So I'm not going to be putting soy sauce in it.
Okay.
But
Do you have
besides
fish
that,
sauce? But I mean, you don't have to put a substitute. It's fine. I'm just thinking that soy sauce would add a little bit of salty flavor to it. So if you just want to skip the soy sauce, I'd probably add a little bit more liquid in the form of the oil or something, or the form of the coconut milk, and then maybe a little bit of salt.
we do have fish sauce.
Do you like fish sauce?
I don't know. Ooh, that is fishy.
No? Okay. So don't put that in there.
Okay.
Maybe put a little bit of extra coconut milk or something, and then maybe just a pinch of salt. But you can taste it and see how you feel.
Okay.
So do you want to tell them what you did there?
I have a jalapeno here, and I'm going to be chopping it up, and then it calls for 3 cloves of garlic, one shallot, some turmeric, and some coconut milk, sugarless peanut butter. I was curious why she specified sugarless. Is that for a
Yeah, I
reason,
don't know
or?
why. I don't know why. Unless it's because she's adding brown sugar to it. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah, because then there is a brown sugar component and sesame seed oil.
Yeah, and you could use any kind of oil. I have used olive oil, I've used vegetable oil, anything you could do there. So that'd be fine.
Okay, I do have sesame seed oil, so I
I have a
will.
question, and I don't know if you're going to know the answer. I should probably find this out. When I get confused, when a recipe calls for a shallot, because the shallot kind of has those pieces to it, like a garlic does, right? It's sort of like cloves in there. And so I always wonder, when it calls for one shallot, is it the whole thing or is it a piece of it?
I just do the whole
You
thing.
do?
Well,
Yeah.
yeah, because the shallot's a lot like an onion, and I
It's
like
tiny.
onions.
Yeah.
And so
I always do the whole thing too, but I just didn't know.
I think, yeah, if you, it's probably just more flavor.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I didn't read through this whole recipe and I didn't realize that you cook this one.
Oh,
Did you realize that? So basically, you're gonna warm some oil on a saucepan. And then when the oil's warm, you're gonna put the garlic, the chili, the shallot in there and saute that.
yep, all right, chopping away. Here we go.
So that's important to read the whole recipe.
I'd only read the ingredient list so far, so.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think you even have to do that if you don't want to, because like I said, I make a peanut sauce all the time and I don't cook it. I just mix the things together. So, other things you can use besides brown sugar, I've put honey in it. I've put agave nectar in it. Anything you have that's sweet. And then if I don't have jalapenos, I sometimes just put red pepper flakes in and that always tastes good.
Oh, that's good to know
Yeah,
too.
so that's easy. So basically, yeah, you saute the veggies and then you put that with the coconut milk in a bowl in a saucepan and let that boil. And then after it boils, you add the rest of the stuff in. So still won't take very long, but if you want to add that step or not, that's up to you.
Okay.
And you kind it looks like you have a skillet there. Are you going to use a pan?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that was a
okay.
mistake.
Okay.
Again, I didn't read through the whole recipe, so I was like, wait a second. Reevaluated that.
Yeah. But I also hope that everybody sees that this doesn't have to be like a huge ordeal, you know? Like, this is pretty fast. This whole meal, I bet if you were in a hurry, you could get it done in 45 minutes or less easily.
Oh, yeah, we're just
Easily,
taking our time
sure.
here.
Yeah. Well, so let me just go on a little bit then about some ways to save money when you're cooking. another thing I work with my clients a lot on is go-to meals. And so these are things that you just know that you're always going to have around. And if you just can't think of anything to cook, you don't feel like cooking, these are pretty much these most simple things that you could possibly throw together. And I even usually have in my kitchen because you've probably had that day where you just don't know what you want to eat. You don't feel like cooking anything. You don't feel like going out to grab anything. And so you could just, ooh, listen, did you hear that?
Yeah, I got the sizzling going.
Sizzle.
We're really actually cooking.
So, like for instance, mine would be, ooh, I love that. So, mine would have like peanut butter and jelly on it. Mine would have oatmeal on it. I would also have like a quesadilla on there, because those are all things that you could just whip up in, 5 seconds. But that's going to save you money too on those late minute last minute runs to the restaurant or something. Do you have anything like that that you keep around your house?
Yes, raviolis. So I get like the frozen raviolis from Sprouts. And now that I know how to make tomato sauce, I'll just like whip up something at home, or I'll do olive oil, kale, and pine nuts, and oh, garlic too, as a sauce. And that's like a quick kind of go-to meal. Mainly anything pasta based is my I can I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna
Be
do some
fast.
noodles, and I love pasta so much, so
Do you oh, you know what she used a lot in this cookbook was toast. And I'm not a huge fan of toast personally, but you would not believe the different ideas she had for toast. Like, how quick is that? And you probably think of putting butter on it or jam or peanut butter. She had everything under the sun on toast. It was really impressive. And so that's a cheap way to eat and a quick way to eat too for those go-to meals.
yeah, so toast has become quite popular,
Has
actually.
it?
Yeah, that's where I saw her toast recipes, and I was excited to try them. And I've just been hearing about like cafes and like restaurants now that offer toast. It's quite overpriced for what it is, but yeah, they're just, I think they're good ideas for combining flavors you wouldn't normally think of. 'Cause yeah, my toast. Well, actually, I usually do. I think it's called egg in a basket. So I put egg in the middle of my piece of bread, and then I put avocado on it and pepper jack cheese. And so I don't know if that's considered toast, but that's usually how I like to eat my bread.
I like to have toast with like a real nice strong cheese and avocado on it. That's so delicious. Love it, love it. And a cheap way to buy spices is to buy those in bulk if you have a grocery store that you can do that. Spices and herbs will go bad very quickly, especially if they come in plastic containers. And so if there are things that you're just using a little bit of here and there, then you might as well just buy it in bulk and just buy a couple tablespoons at a time, and you're definitely going to save money that way.
Great. So I'm going to check in on our vegetables because the timer went
Okay.
off. I think they can go a little bit longer. Ooh, I am getting hungry. Smelling all of this.
That's one of the other ideas for budget shopping is to go to the grocery store after you've eaten. Because if you go to the grocery store and you're starving, you're going to be buying a lot more than you probably would otherwise. Where do you shop, Danielle?
Sprouts.
Sprouts? Okay.
Yeah, primarily. And Trader Joe's, but I mainly go to Sprouts.
Another budget saver, if you have these things in your area, is to think about shopping at the ethnic markets because they're usually much, much, much cheaper than your big box grocery stores. And so I know in San Diego you're very lucky because you have Ranch 99 and you have H Mart. Is it H Mart? H Mart, yeah. And Zion, and you can just get all just everything. The produce is cheaper, the fish is cheaper, the canned food, everything is really affordable. And then if you like Hispanic food, you've got a lot of mercados there. So like Northgate Mercado will be around, and you'll be really surprised how affordable that is. And then if you like more Middle Eastern cuisine, you've got North Park Produce that's around town. And that's going to be very affordable as well. So if you do live in a bigger city where you have those kind of options and you have the time, I would definitely suggest checking those out to save some money.
Great.
Have you used Amazon Pantry, Danielle?
I have not. No.
No? Okay. I haven't.
I noticed like they were doing some kind of deal trying to get me to use it, but I didn't really need groceries shipped to me, so.
Well, it's supposed to be a real affordable option and nice way. So if you have Amazon Prime, they've started this new Amazon Pantry, and pretty much whatever you can fit in the box. Well, it was $6. I'm assuming it's still $6, but that's a great deal for shipping on those non-perishable type things. And then also, if you are kind of an impulse shopper, if you have any grocery stores in your area that do delivery, that's actually a really good way to save money because you have a list, they're picking it up, and you're not doing any extra purchasing that you don't need to do. And normally there's a small fee for delivery, but I always found that once you start ordering regularly, then they start sending you coupons and you pretty much never pay for delivery. So that's a great way to save time and save money.
Great. So now with the peanut sauce, I'm just about to add in the actual peanut butter, and then it's pretty much going to be done.
I can't wait to see how this all tastes for you. Ooh, your peanut butter is really runny.
Yes, I didn't put it in the fridge yet. It was brand new.
And at this point, you could pretty much add anything in that you wanted to. So soy sauce, honey, just anything, salt, whatever you like at that point, you could add in. Sometimes when I make my peanut sauce, I also put lime juice in it. And since you are having a tilapia with lime, you might like a little bit of that, but you'll just have to taste it and see. How's the consistency look?
It's pretty liquidy.
So you might have to add more peanut butter. Possibly, yeah. And I mean, I don't know how much of a saucy consistency she wanted this to be, but she had several sauces in her cookbook, and this is one of them that she suggested dipping these types of vegetables in. So hopefully it's tasty. So another thing about saving money with cooking is using your leftovers. And I was reading, and they did a little bit of research about waste, food waste, and Americans throw out more than 25% of the food we prepare. And so for a family of four, that's over $600 worth of food. That's a lot of money that you're just tossing out. And so, finding new ways to use your leftovers. So, you had mentioned something about noodles earlier. If you have some of this peanut sauce left, you could easily make some chicken, toss that peanut sauce in with the noodles, and have another meal. You could put those vegetables in a salad. You could add to some sort of soup. But there's always a way to make a sandwich or a toast or a soup or a pasta with some of your leftovers. And so that's going to be a money saver. And then, like I mentioned earlier, if you have a feeling that you're not going to use it, just go ahead and freeze it hot. Vegetables are fresh out of the oven.
Yeah, I tend not to wait. I tend to burn myself.
Did you taste
So,
it or was it just
kinda.
burning?
Yeah, kinda.
What did you
It
think?
was good.
It
I'm gonna
was.
give it a little bit more time, but I think they're done. I was mainly testing if they're done, and I didn't really wait long enough there, so.
Another thing too is proper storage of your food. And so if you want to check out my website, Kelly Hines Nutrition, back in February of 2013, one of my interns wrote a couple blogs on food storage, and they were really helpful. So it talked about, how you should store certain fruits, certain vegetables, so that you're getting the best shelf life out of them that you can. And then something that's kind of an initial investment, but I think you'll be thinking it's worth every penny, is a food saver. Have you ever tried one of those, Danielle? It's the little vacuum seal.
Yes, we recently got into that because we were using it for dog food. So we got a vacuum sealer because we would buy the big Costco dog food bags. And our dog was losing interest in eating. She's kind of atypical. So now that all her food is pretty much fresh, she eats very quickly. And so we started to use it with bread and other vegetables. We also got an add-on feature to the vacuum sealer for cans, or sorry, for jars. And so now for like all my nuts and seeds, we can seal them and keep them fresher longer.
And then do you have those canisters? I have the canisters that are hard plastic and they come in different shapes. And then there's like a tube that attaches to it to seal that up. So I put vegetables in there. I even put salad in there, soups, things that you've already prepared.
Oh, no, I haven't seen those.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's initially an investment, but the money that you end up saving on storage of that kind of stuff is well worth it, I think. Okay, another thing that I want to talk about is I've sort of mentioned about cooking from scratch. And so, if you think about the money that you would spend on groceries, versus eating out, it's going to be pretty significant. And so, for instance, if you went out to like Panera or something and had a sandwich, you would easily spend $8, $9 for lunch, versus if you bought a whole loaf of bread and lunch meat and cheese, you're not going to spend a whole lot more than that. So the cost of preparing a sandwich at home could just be, a few bucks versus upwards of $10 if you're eating out. Same thing with a pizza, same thing with soup. So pretty much anything you can cook at home, you're going to be saving yourself some money. And then the other thing that I like to do is batch cooking. And so batch cooking is that you cook large quantities of it at one time, and then you go ahead and freeze or store part of it because then you've got two meals for the work of one. And it's going to be a way to save money because you can also buy things in larger quantities than before. Did you
Great.
taste your peanut sauce?
I did. And it tastes
And
very good.
really? Is it still really runny?
No, it thickened. I think warming
Okay.
it thickened it. So I think
Yum.
we're ready for the fish.
The fish. Okay. So I chose fish out of this cookbook. And I mean, frankly, I was kind of surprised that she had fish in there because normally I think of that as being a pricier food. But tilapia is kind of the cheapest option for fish. So, and it probably depends on where you live too. If you live on the coast, it's going to be cheaper. If you buy it at an ethnic market, it's going to be cheaper. And also because people are kind of afraid to cook fish, they shy away from it. But I just want to show you guys how very simple it is to cook fish. So, what are you going to do, Danielle?
I first needed the oven to preheat to broil on high, and I just got my cooking sheet ready. And I needed to freeze the fish, so now I'm going to double check that it is ready to go. And I need to combine spices, so it's going to be salt, pepper, cayenne pepper, cumin, garlic powder, and oregano. Oh, and some lime. That's probably for afterwards. And so mixing these spices all together, and then I'm going to massage gently into the fish. All right.
Okay. And I just want to clarify that Danielle said she had to freeze the fish and it's not for the recipe. So she froze it because we didn't end up needing it for a few days. And fish does not keep around very long. So she froze it and now she's defrosted it.
Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and prepare prepare these items. Is there any tips you have, Kelly, for coupons? Because there's so many coupons out there, and it seems like there's more efficient ways of collecting them these days.
I found a couple groups on Facebook. So one of them that stands out is the Crazy Coupon Lady, and she spells it with K's if you're looking for her. And so she actually sends out to you things that are on sale. And so that would be one way. And then I know there are a lot of info coupons, and so I would just check your phone and see what you can find. Some people love couponing, some people don't. I personally don't, because I feel like a lot of times the coupons are for things that I wouldn't normally buy, and so it doesn't really help me. So what I'm more likely to do is to shop the ads. So I'll look at the store ads and see what they've got that's more affordable. And then a lot of times stores also have like a double ad day where you'll save double the money, or you get the ad from the last week and this week. So I would check that, and then definitely check your different ads. And you could even try to make a menu from the ads and the coupons that you find. What are you working with there?
I am trying to get the salt out of my
Oh.
large salt
Okay.
container. And I got a little more fish than the recipe required. So I'm in my head trying to put in more spices than she has listed here. I tend not to measure out my spices. So I just kind of eyeball it because I don't know, it's just easier and I haven't noticed it going wrong before. So, what do you
Yeah,
usually do when you're
it's good.
cooking?
I do that too. I absolutely do that. And then tasting and just adding as you go along. I think that's a good thing to do. Another thing, eating in season is usually a more affordable way for eating. Because things are grown right there and they don't have to be shipped across the country. So if you can eat, asparagus in the spring when it's in season, then that's going to be cheaper than trying to eat it in the fall. Berries in the summer, just whatever, and helping, go to a farmer's market, that'll be really helpful too, because you'll get an idea of what's growing right now. In California, you're lucky because everything's always growing. But other parts of the country, it's a little more challenging. I'm finding in Missouri, it's really hard to get good produce this time of the year. So it's a little disappointing. Yeah. I found my grocery shopping and cooking is a lot different here than it was back there, which is sad, but whatever.
I guess you got to get into jarring and canning.
Definitely. And then a word on vegetarian eating, meat is very pricey. And so even if you just eat vegetarian a couple nights a week, you can save a few $100 a year. So that would be another option. So I don't know, those are all the tips that I've thought of for budget cooking. And I'm wondering, we'd love to hear from our readers. And so if you guys have ideas that you, not our readers, our listeners, if you have some ideas that you want to share on our Facebook page or email us, then we'd be happy to share those too. I'm sure other people would appreciate it. How's it going?
I'm not used to working with fish here.
Well.
It has a smell. Yeah, so I should probably tell our listeners I don't normally eat fish, so this is a new experience. But I think, part of what we do on Savor is encourage new ideas and trying new things. So I'm stretching myself here. And I'm cooking with fish. So, and I'm gonna eat it too. I don't know how much of it I'm gonna eat, but I am gonna try to enjoy and taste it.
Yeah, I apologize because I picked these meals before. I didn't remember that Danielle didn't like fish. And this is a, fish is a fast animal protein to cook. It would have been hard for us to do a chicken or a beef or something. So that's another reason why I chose the fish. So hopefully she can make her way through it. Tilapia is also a pretty mild flavor fish. And I don't know what the peanut sauce would be like on fish. It might be a little bit heavy, but you could try it and kind of mask the flavor a little bit. So this recipe is having you broil the fish, but another really easy way to cook fish is called en papillote. And so it just basically you take a piece of parchment paper or foil and you put the fish in there, you put the herbs and spices, maybe a little bit of oil, and you fold it up and make a little pouch, and then you just stick it in the oven for a few minutes and it comes out and it steams in there. And so it's a real tender way of making the fish. You can also do it very easily on the stovetop in a skillet and oil. Get your oil pretty hot and then put it in there, sear it a little bit, and really just a couple minutes on each side and it's going to be finished.
So I have the fish ready and I'm about to put it in the oven. And broiling for 4 to 7 minutes. So I need to check in 4 minutes because apparently it cooks very quickly. And see how it's doing. She recommends testing it with a butter knife into the thickest part, and if it goes through easily, then I'm done. So if it meets resistance, then we need to keep broiling for another couple of minutes.
So how simple is that?
Yes.
You could never get a piece of any other kind of meat done that quickly.
No.
So that's awesome. And if you liked fish, it would be even better.
Yeah, but honestly, I haven't tried very many fish, so there's no good reason I don't like it. It's just my whole life I've kind of been like, oh, I don't really like fish, and then I never tried new fish, so I'm expanding my horizons.
And it really, that seems to be the simplest part. I mean, it seems like the vegetables were the most time consuming and the lengthiest to cook, and then the peanut sauce and then the fish. So that's pretty good. So tell me what you think about the vegetables.
They're really good. They're kind of cooling down now, but when I did have a piece that was warmer, they have a crunch to it that it's really nice. It's kind of a nice snack too. I mean, it's good as a side, but this would be like a really nice snack, just to have. And yeah, you don't even really know you're eating vegetables.
Could you imagine if it would be a lot different if you would have used the cornmeal?
Think it'd be pretty similar. I do use cornmeal with making homemade pizzas, and so the texture is pretty similar. Maybe a slight difference in taste.
Did you try dipping it in a peanut sauce?
Yeah, they went really
And
well together. Yeah.
it did.
It was really good.
And that was a substitution that we made on the fly. And so we were just kind of looking for something that had the same consistency as cornmeal. So Danielle had breadcrumbs, but she could have also used, if she had panko breadcrumbs, she could have used that. What else can she have used? Like if you have instant potatoes, you could use instant potatoes. That would, like the flakes, that would crisp up a little bit. You could do that. We could have done double flour. So you could have dipped them in the flour, then dipped them in the egg, then dipped them in the flour again, and that would have worked. Just think about what you have in your kitchen that you could grab for that type of thing.
Well, I can smell the fish. It's just about done.
Oh, good. Well, we're really appreciative that you spent this hour with us today and that you let us try something new. We've been talking about doing this for episode for a really long time, so it was fun for us to have new sights and sounds and smells and pictures for the website. So, thank you so much. We hope that you liked the tips and that you find yourself in the kitchen more often, saving some money at the grocery store. I definitely encourage you to check out Leanne Brown and give her any positive feedback that you can give her. And I would like to say that for this next little bit, maybe you could just savor the time you find yourself in the kitchen.
Thanks.
Thank you.